Amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. And Will came into the back and talked to me as soon as he got here, and talked to Sister Mina too, and it was making things right, repenting, and it brought joy to our hearts.
Amen.
And just too many things to say, can't explain them all. And I talked with Will for a little while in the back, and so we're just glad to have him here this morning.
And
he said that he's back, so we're glad to have him back. And we're glad for the testimony and the work that the Lord is doing in his life. Amen. That's what we always wanted.
Amen.
For the Lord to work in his life. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for all things, Lord. Lord, you are truly a God that is your abilities go way beyond anything that we can even comprehend as humans, Lord. Lord, truly, Father, your word says you work all things to the good of them that love the Lord. And God, we see you working good in Will's life, dear God. And we just thank you for that, and ask God that you will be with us now in this service, dear God. And Father, may you anoint us, Lord God, to bring your word and speak the things you've laid on your heart to be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that. I usually have that silenced before I come up here, but with talking with Will in the back and different things, there's a lot of things I forgot about doing. And so just forgive me for that. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 25, and we're still speaking on the election of God. The election of God. So I wait each week not knowing the direction perhaps the Lord would have us go in, and I just wait for inspiration to strike. Because without that, I don't even know where to start. And I don't even got a starting place. And so the Lord just keeps guiding us this way. And so I trust this will be a help to you this morning. Amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You may be seated. The thing that struck me about this, and I've mentioned it several times, this referred to this scripture over the past few weeks that we have been on this study about election of God. But I just wanted to read it this morning, and especially for any new ones, so that they would know the things that I've said, where it's actually at. But is that where he says that he might present it to himself. See, he sanctified the church and cleansed it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. And that what I draw from that is, friends, it's not anything we can do.
Right.
This is something he does. We can't, he's not dependent on us to clean ourselves all up, make ourselves all right, get righteous so that we can present ourselves to him.
Right.
He said that he's going to present us.
Amen.
So the work that's done in us, it's not work that we can do, but it's work that he does. And, you know, so the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brother. And he comes to us constantly and with our faults, with our mistakes or our failures. And he's constantly putting blame on us and trying to discourage us from our walk with the Lord by pointing out all the things that's wrong. But the difference between what Satan does and what God does, when God points out anything that is wrong, he gives us the way to be right. He gives us a guidance toward being right. And you know, God doesn't condemn us. He brings conviction, which is showing us where we're wrong and giving us where the steps that we should follow, what we should do. But Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to put us down with condemnation to get us to say, well, what's the use? I might as well give up. But it's not about what we can do is what I'm gathering from this scripture. It's about what God has already done, you know, and the work that he's doing in our life. Turn with me to Philippians 1 and 6. And I want to read from there. And as I said, just going to these scriptures instead of just referring to them so that everyone can see where they're at and what we're drawing from. Here in Philippians 1 and 6, it says, being confident of this very thing. So this gives us confidence that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God began the good work in us. He's the one that got the ball rolling, so to speak. You know, he got us moving in the right direction. But he's not depending on us to complete this work in us. He said he's going to complete it. Brother Branham said that the church is at the right state where it should be. It's not matured yet. He said, but there's only one that can bring the church to maturity, and that's the Holy Spirit. No man can bring us to maturity. It takes the Holy Ghost to bring us to maturity. And he says, and I believe that he will do it because the word said he would. Amen. Now, any of you that have been accustomed to farming or even having a garden or whatever, you know, you don't plant your seed and harvest it on the same day. You plant the seed of corn or wheat or whatever it is that you're raising, tomatoes or whatever. You put it in the ground, and then there's a time it has to go through of coming to stages that it goes through of life to where it can eventually come to maturity. And so realizing this, when God doesn't expect us to come to him and then be mature in the same day. He works on us. And you know, as the song says, God's still working on me. Amen. He began the good work in us, and he's still working on us, and he's watering us by the word to bring us to a maturity. Amen. And that maturity that we're going to reach is to, we could say, is the stature of a perfect man, where all these things that temperance and patience and godliness and kindness and brotherly love and all these things are coming to maturity in us, and we're not perfect yet. And to let you know this, the Bible even says they that have went by the way of the grave, they're not perfect without us. So, you know, God's got to bring because we're one body. So God's got to bring us all to maturity. And when, and there's things that God has for us to do in this life. There's a purpose that he has for each of our lives. And we've got to fulfill that purpose. Amen. And it's God working in us that brings that purpose to its fulfillment. The more we yield ourselves to God, the more he can work through us. Amen. And turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. And let's read the parable of the wheat and the tares in verse, starting at verse 24. And it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said to them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And what this parable is speaking of, friends, the same water and the same sun that brings the wheat up to bring it to maturity is the same sun and water that's going to bring the tares up and bring them to their maturity. You realize that the disciples, there was 12. And we know that one of them was a tare. But he sat in the same services, heard the same word, sat under the same watering of the word. He sat under the same sun, S-O-N, and of God. And what brought the other 11 to maturity, it brought him to his maturity as well. And his maturity was to go and betray the Son of God. Their maturity was to come to a place that we call Pentecost, where they met in the upper room and received the Holy Ghost. And that was bringing them to their time, to where they would take the Word of God and continue on with it after Christ had ascended. But it brought Judas to fruit also, so that Judas would show his colors and who he was. And we see in this last day, friends, we're coming to that harvest time now. And every tree is going to bring forth the fruit of whatever it is. And everyone's going to show their colors of what they are. And the same message that we sit under that's bringing us to maturity, it's bringing to maturity the tares also. Now, I'm not talking about the denominations and all them, because we know who they are. But the Bible said it would be so close in the last days that it would deceive the very elect if possible. And so how is it going to be so close? It's because they're growed up with the wheat. Not out here in the Church of Christ field, not out here in the Baptist field, but right within the shining of the end time message, the end time word. And that word that's bringing you to maturity will also bring to maturity the tares. And they're claiming the same thing that you're claiming. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Now this is a scripture that we have been reading for our text, really, for all these services that we've been preaching on the election of God. But I want to turn there, and then after that we'll go to another scripture. But in Romans 8:29, it said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I want to really emphasize on that. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he's the firstborn. He's the first one to come to maturity. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, who's doing all this?
Right.
Not us. We're not doing it ourselves. Friends, you can't put yourself up by your own bootstraps. You need somebody to stick their hand down and give you a hand up. Amen. And the Bible says, the song says, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, and I know your arm is not too short. It can reach me too. And as you're reaching up, he's reaching down to give you a hand up, to pull you up out of the pits that you're in. Amen. Give you deliverance. In whom, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, we had just read from Romans that he predestinated for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now he's saying, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. See, again, he's the one doing it.
Wow.
Amen. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
We were at one time alienated. We were at one time enemies to God. Amen. And enemies to ourselves. But it said that, and we had wicked works, but yet now hath he reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Amen.
Amen. So the condemnation that Satan's constantly trying to bring on us because of our mistakes, because of our failures, because of our shortcomings. Friends, God's not depending on you.
Amen.
He's depending on himself. We can't make ourselves righteous. And in fact, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. See, it's the righteousness of Christ. He's the firstborn. He was the first one to be accepted. He was the first one to come to maturity. He was the first one to be raised from the dead. Amen. Signifying that there would be others that would be raised from the dead. And when Christ was raised from the dead, those of the Old Testament that were there locked up, amen, because there was no perfect sacrifice for them. They were imprisoned. But he went, the Bible says, and he led captivity captive. He set them free. And they, and Abraham and Sarah and all these saints from the Old Testament, they arose from the grave when Christ did. And him being the first fruits of those that raised from the dead, that if we go by the way of the grave, it is a promise that we will come forth from the dead. Amen. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. I want to show you the type of a lot of these things that we've been saying here just now. I want to show you the type of it in the Old Testament and show you what was, you know, something that really struck me was, in the Old Testament, and we're reading in Leviticus, these were the laws that were given to Moses. And Moses then would instruct the people, you must do this, you have to do that, you had to do this, and all that. And but even Moses, as a prophet of God, he didn't fully understand why they were doing all these things they were doing. He did know, he said, the Lord our God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Yes. Amen. But even then, the people were doing these things and they didn't know exactly what all it represented. Right. Amen. Let's read in Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, that you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave that sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now, what this was when their harvest would begin to become to maturity, their crops, then they would bring the first thing that came to maturity to the priest, and he would wave that over the rest of the crop, and it was a sign that all the rest was going to come to maturity as well. And the Bible is what has taught us then and showed us in the New Testament was that Christ was the first one to come to maturity. And so what this was signifying wasn't only that their crop was going to come to maturity, but it was signifying that there was one coming, a Messiah, a Christ that would come to maturity. And once he was the firstborn of many brethren would come to maturity, then he would be waved over the rest of the people, showing the promise that everyone would come to maturity. And Brother Branham said he was waved the first time on the day of Pentecost when they were gathered in the upper room, and he was waved over the people, and there was a sound, a mighty wind like a rushing wind come down over the people, and the Spirit of God shed over each one of them tongues of fire. Amen. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was a sign that they would come to maturity. And Brother Branham says, and the Bible says in Luke 17 and 30, in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed, that he would be, or that sheaf, Christ, would be waved over the people again. And in this last days, amen, amen, through the ministry of a prophet, the Son of Man was revealed again. In this last day, Jesus Christ was introduced to the people again and waved over the people. Amen. It wasn't a prophet being waved over a people. It was Jesus Christ himself being waved over the people. Brother Branham wasn't the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brothers. He is the wave sheet. He's what was waved over the people, showing that the rest would come to maturity. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all these things we've been saying this morning is showing it's beyond any work that we can do. It's all what he's done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, you're in your natural birth. You were born as a child, and you went through stages of growth. And you kept growing and changing until you reached an age of maturity, or an age we call where you're finally an adult. And you reach, and Brother Branham says you actually reach that age of maturity in God's eyes about the age of 25. Because from the age of 25 on, all your cells just, they don't replenish like they used to. And death starts taking over in the body. And the older you get, the more you realize death has taken a hold of you. Amen. And my aunt used to always tell me, she as she was getting older, you know, she would say, well, I'll tell you one thing, old age ain't for sissies. You know, she said, boy, it's something you got to face, old age.
Oh, yeah.
But we reach maturity, and then in your spiritual birth, Brother Bram says, it's the same thing as your natural birth. You're born of the Spirit. And you're not born of the Spirit and reach maturity in the same day and hour. Amen. You've got to go through stages of growth.
Amen.
God showed you, repent about this. Turn from this. As a pastor, when I watch new ones come in, well, there's a lot of things. I don't just jump down their throat every little thing they're doing. Because, friends, they've got to, the grace of God, that God worked through that grace to me to bring me to the stage where I'm at. That same grace of God has to be given to them and work in their lives to bring them to maturity. We're not born and able to drive a car in the same day. And just because a person turns 16, or I guess 15 here in the state of Tennessee, when they can get their permit, it doesn't mean you can drive just because you turned that age. I remember when I was learning to drive, you know, and my dad would let me drive the family to church on Sunday morning. And we were driving down a two-lane road, and it was a very busy road, and there was an individual that was riding his bicycle over here on this side, and there was a car coming this way, and here I was, I didn't know what to do. I can't hit this guy on the bicycle, and I can't get over because this car's coming, you know. And my dad, you know, reached over and jerked the wheel, and he said, what was you gonna do, take him with you? And you know, I took driver's ed. But driver's ed, they set you in a classroom, and they, or at least how they used to do it, and they go through all these different scenarios and teach you laws and signs and all this, you know, and then they take you out driving a little bit. But when you get done, you still don't know how to drive. And that's the way it is with growing in the Lord. Amen. You don't start out knowing how to walk. You don't start out knowing every path your feet's got to take. You don't know how to handle every situation that you're going to face and go through. And that's why many times you face your situation, and the first time you do it wrong. But don't worry, you'll get another opportunity, because God will make you take the test until you pass it. It's not like in school, okay, you didn't make an A, you got a C, we're going to shove you on through. You got a D, we're going to shove you on through. Brother Ben said, look, we don't want to make it by the skin of our teeth. Amen. We want to pass with flying colors. And that's the way God is. God hasn't promised to just push us through, but what he's promised is to bring us to a perfection. Once we're raptured out of here, friends, I'm going to tell you something. Your growth is over.
Right.
We got to reach maturity before then. When we're in the millennium and supposed to be ruling and reigning as kings, amen, that ain't the time for us to be working on our character. Our character's molded right here and now. And it's molded by the tests and trials that God lets us go through. And we watch. You know, God gives us examples. He gave us examples, amen, that spoke of in Hebrews 11, I believe it is, which is called the Hall of Fame, God's Hall of Fame. And he gave us examples. And then we've had examples in this last day. Amen. And then God gives us godly parents to be examples to us and to teach us right from wrong and to teach us what we should do. Because Brother Branham taught us, friends, before a child reaches the age of accountability, the Holy Ghost in you is their Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in you that guides you is supposed to be what's guiding them. Brother Branham said, it's not juvenile delinquency, right. It's parent delinquency. Right. And blame it on the kids, you got to look at the parents.
Right.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen. And he didn't leave things to chance. He don't leave anything to chance. He came down and was made flesh and lived out an example before us. And as the Bible said, he was tested and tried in every way such as no one to man. So there's nothing you face or go through that you'll be able to go to him and say, I don't really know that you can understand this, Jesus. Because the Bible says he can. Well, Jesus, I don't think you know what it's like to have to pay bills. They came to Jesus and said, look, we got our taxes we got to pay. And Jesus said, go down to the water. There's going to be a fish come up. And he's going to give you a coin. And you take that coin and go down and pay our taxes. And we know that Jesus, in the natural, grew up under the household of a carpenter. So, friends, look, you don't really hear much. You hear Jesus at his birth, then Jesus is about the age of 12, and then Jesus is about the age of 30. Between 12 and 30, you don't hear, there's nothing really wrote about him. What was he doing all that time? He was going through all the things you go through.
That's right. Good preaching, brother.
Amen. He had to hold down a job. He had to work to provide. He had to eat like everybody else. He had to have clothes like everybody else. He had to have shoes like everybody else. We get so much in our minds about Jesus that we forget that God made himself human. He lived in a flesh that had to come to maturity. He wasn't born in maturity. He lived in a flesh that was born as a babe in a manger. Amen. But he didn't stay there. A lot of times the world wants to keep him there, but he didn't stay there. He began to grow. And he went through things, and he faced things, and he had to learn things.
Amen.
You say Jesus had to learn things? The Bible said he did.
Right.
It said he learned by the things he suffered.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen to what Brother Ram says here. This is a message of things that are to be. He says, you grow from birth to maturity. Things that seem so strange to you in your young womanhood and boyhood and as children now seem very real. You couldn't understand it when you was a child, but now you've become an adult, you begin to understand and find out what everything that was set just right. And really what it means something to you now. And so is with your spiritual birth. You do things you don't understand when you're a little baby. You come to the altar. You give your life to Christ. You do such strange things. You wonder why you did it. But after a while, when you mature as mature Christians, then you understand it. There's something picks up. You see why you had to do it. Your spiritual birth, your natural birth types your spiritual. And how it fitted to you in this life as you grew. Everything fitted right in because you were made for that. Wasn't it a strange thing the night that you staggered into a mission or a tent meeting or a little church somewhere on the corner and something the preacher preached on a certain subject and you just fell right at the altar? God knew that before the foundation of the world. It seems strange to you why you did it then, but now you understand, you knew what happened. It's so fitted to you in this life, and you will be also in the life that is to come. Amen. We go through things, and we a lot of times, why in the world is this happening to me? And we don't understand. And friends, there's a lot of things about this life that we're not going to understand until the sweet by and by. But there's a lot of things we go through that while we're going through it, we don't understand why we're going through it. We don't understand, what am I supposed to be learning out of this? Amen. But, you know, as they say, experience is a hard teacher. It gives you the test first and the lesson later. And that's the way it is. We go through things. We experience things. And then, you know, that then later we learn, well, this is why I had to face that. This is why I had to go through that. And friends, not everything you go through is for you. Sometimes you go through things that is your life to be an example and testimony to somebody else. To help them. We're supposed to be helpers of one another. We are our brother's keeper. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. In God's provided place of worship, Brother Branham says, now remember, in Christ, we are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. When God wounded Christ at Calvary, he was wounded for me and you. We are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, body of his body, name of his name, bride of him. See, we are in him. We are his flesh and bones. And God has already raised us up potentially. The quickening power that raised us from the life of sin and changed our being, it has potentially raised us up in Christ, which the resurrection will bring us forth in the full maturity. Hallelujah. So you say, how am I going to get the body change? Brother Branham says, everything you have need of, including the rapture, is in you when you get the Holy Ghost. So the power that you have need of to change this mortal body into immortality, it's in you when you get the Holy Ghost. It's already in you. Say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. You don't have to know how you're going to do it. It ain't about you understanding. It ain't about what you're going to do. It's about what he's doing. Friends, look, Jesus Christ himself was glorified. Remember when he came and he said, seest thou touch me not? When he first was resurrected, don't touch me yet. For I haven't been glorified yet. I haven't received my glorified body just yet. Oh. So these stages that you go through, friends, look, it's God bringing you through them. Look, when you plant corn, it is going to yield a crop. It just needs time. But you know what? It's going to yield corn. You know why? Because that's what it is. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. God has planted us, children of God, here in this world, friends. You say, am I going in the rapture? Of course you are. Because that's what you are. You're part of it. If you're a part of God, you're a part of everything that God does. No wonder Brother Branham said that even the rapture is in you right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says here in the mess of conferences, he says, I see the years creeping up on me, my little hair that I have turning gray and my shoulders stooping. I haven't got much longer. 30-something years I've been behind the pulpit. I only wish I had 1,000 lives I could give for him. I wish I only had it. I love his people. What are you trusting in this morning? Some good work that you've done? What are you trusting in? When you're having financial difficulties, what are you trusting in? Are you leaning on this arm or are you leaning on him? The everlasting arm.
Amen.
Amen. You can't lean on yourself. You know, that's where we get in a lot of trouble. It's when we think that we're dependent on ourselves.
Amen.
We think we're self-sufficient. We think, I've done this. I went and done that job interview. I got that job. I worked that job. Friends, you ain't got nothing what God doesn't give you. Hallelujah. Everything in your life is God providing for you. Even when you make a mess of things. And there's times, friends, we make a mess of things. I've had people come to me, you know, and they come to me and they're all, their life all messed up. There's nothing I can do. But there's nothing beyond what God can do.
Amen.
It is no secret.
Huh?
Hallelujah. Isn't that what it said?
Amen.
It is no secret what God can do.
Amen.
What he done for others, he'll do for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What are you trusting in this morning? Some good work you've done? Some church that you belong to? Are you really standing on the word of God? Are you really experienced? Have you heard? Have you had a private conference with God that returns back like it did at the day of Pentecost? Not some substitutionary or some handshake or some mental confession, but upon the fire of the Holy Ghost coming in your life that changes all that you do and say. If you haven't had that, he says, raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Branham.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, look, we're not going to make it without that. It's having the Holy Ghost is what's going to bring you to maturity. Hallelujah. Because that's the Holy Ghost. What is that? That is the very life of God living in you. Zoe, his own life. Amen. I mentioned this, but I want to read this to you. This is out of the message of spiritual adoption. Brother Branham says, now here's a point I want to drive home. May the Holy Spirit take it to every heart of you believers. Just because you're a believer, certainly you have everlasting life. God said so. But would you want to just get in, as Job said, by the skin of your teeth? Would you want to come before the Father and the talent he's given every one of you as being negligent? You just didn't use it, or you let something else stand in your way. You let little petty things that meant nothing to you. After all the little fusses and stews and arguments and church differences, take the meekness and gentleness from your life. Would you want to stand before the Father like that? I don't believe you would. I don't believe you would do it. Neither would I.
Amen. That's right.
Now we're human. And as we said, we're in this sticky, stinking flesh. Remember when we preached on hid behind badger skins? And we said badgers was a stinking animal. It represents your flesh. And we've got a sticky flesh. Amen. And you know, there's times because of our flesh, just because you got the Holy Ghost, you still got to contend with this flesh. The Bible says we do, even after being sealed.
Amen.
He said, put off from you all malice. Put off from you all these things. Because why? We're in this flesh. This flesh gets its feelings hurt.
Amen.
Just because you got the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're exempt from getting your feelings hurt.
Amen.
You can get your feelings hurt. And if you're not careful, you'll let a root of bitterness begin to grow. And you'll start to hold a grudge because of something somebody said or did. And that, and what that does, that hinders you. That hinders your growth. That's going to hinder you from coming to maturity. But God, if you belong to God, He's not going to leave it alone. If he has to send some preacher along that'll sit there and dig and dig and dig and dig at that thing until you say, I want that out of my life. It's like God said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. Amen. We said what that was, what he was referring to was they take an animal, an ox or something, and they got this long stick with the point on the end of it. That's a prick. And they prick that animal to get it to go. And what God said to Paul, I'm pricking you and it's hard for you to kick against it. You can't kick against it. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to change. God will keep on until you do. He's going to bring you to maturity. He's going to present you a glorious church in spite of yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He'll keep at it, friends, until, and you say, well, you know, this just bothered me. Well, it's going to keep bothering you until God gets it rubbed off this flesh.
Amen.
He'll keep saying, you say, he pushed my buttons. Well, he's going to keep on pushing your buttons in this life until he gets every sharp edge off of you.
Amen.
Friends, look. When Michelangelo got that big hunk of marble, it wasn't Moses in a day. It didn't become the masterpiece in a day. It didn't even become the masterpiece in 2 days. It didn't become the masterpiece in 5 days. It took him a while. And when Michelangelo was halfway done with it, he didn't stand back and say, speak. It wasn't until he got done with it and it was fully complete. He had chipped away, as we would say, everything that wasn't Moses. He had chipped away. Then's when he looked at it, at the image, and said, and hit it with his hammer and said, speak.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's still molding us. He's still chipping away. He hasn't stood back yet and said, speak. Hallelujah. But one day, we're going to come to that maturity. Oh, friends. Hallelujah. One day, friends, we are. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. Amen. And caught up together with them. The Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, God took a picture of you.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And Brother Branham said, look, he said, about the age of 25. But Brother Branham said, if you were born into this life, and somebody was born, and they never reached this age, you know, and God took them off the earth, he said, God knew what they were going to be. God knew what they were going to face. Maybe God took them from this earth to prevent them from having to go through or face certain things. He said, but he knows what they will be at their maturity. So they're going to be changed to about the same age you are. And Brother Branham said, if you reached the age of 25 and you didn't have any sickness or you didn't have anything wrong, fine. But if you did, he said, that's all right. That wasn't how God intended you to be. You're not going to be that way when you get changed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've often said, the body change for me is going to be one of the best diets I've ever been on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I work hard. I walk, I exercise, I watch my calories, I diet, and I've been making some progress. But friends, when I get that body change, it's going to be in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to have to walk 5 to 10 miles in a day to get there. Because once I get there, I'm going to be able to travel like a thought anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, people ask me, said, would you like to be young? You know, just somebody out on the street. Wouldn't you like to be young again? And I always say, yeah, but I don't want to be stupid again. Because when I was young, I was stupid.
Amen.
That's the way I look at it. I've done a lot of foolish things. You know, I think I threw away a lot of my youth. I wasted a lot of it on things that don't mean nothing.
Amen.
But this body change, hallelujah, all the experiences that I've been through, they're going to come with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ain't going to be able to take my car, my truck, or anything else, and I ain't going to have need of it anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord this morning? He's going to present us perfect and matured. He's the one going to do it. He's the one bringing us to maturity. He's the one that's brought the change in our life. That song says, there's been a change in me. I'm not the man I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't me changing myself. It wasn't you changing yourself. It was God bringing the change. Amen. As Brother Will said at the beginning, he said, God woke him up at 3 a.m. in the morning. God will do that.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to wake you up at some time. Amen. And begin to reveal himself to you. If you belong to him, he's going to. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in our lives, dear God. Lord, I'm thankful, dear God, that you've delivered me, dear God, from the condemning things that Satan tried to keep me under. I'm thankful, Lord, that you delivered me, dear God, from the ways of do's and don'ts, Lord, to a way of, Lord, what I want. People say you can't do what you want to do. Yes, I do. I just don't want to do them other things. And I'm thankful that I don't want to live in the world. I'm thankful I don't want that. Lord, you brought that change in us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, where we used to be maybe cantankerous, you brought the change in us. Brother Branham said that you gave us a new spirit because with the one we had, we couldn't even get along with ourselves. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I ask your blessings on the people today. Take these words that were spoken. May, Lord God, it help them to grow. May it help them, dear God, in their walk. May it help them this week, Lord, as they're going through the things that we have to face in this life, dear God. Help them on the job. Help them wherever they're at. Help them in their housework. Help them with whatever it is, Lord God, that they're called to do, Lord. Lord, as Brother Branham said, Father, whatever, God, you've called us to do, we want to be the best. If it's a factory worker, we want to be the best one. If it's a housewife, we want to be the best one. Lord, he said, even a housewife, he'd give her the responsibility to teach her children. Lord, what a responsibility that's on the mother and father, Lord God. Lord, I pray you bless these families, dear God. We've got a lot of young ones, Lord, babies in this church, Lord, families that, Father, have got a lot of babies, Lord. I pray you'll bless them, dear God. I pray you'll guide them, dear God, as they guide their children. May you help them and bring blessings in their children's lives, dear God. May, Lord God, when they come of age, Lord, if you would tarry to that time, Lord, that you would open up their eyes and reveal yourself unto them. We pray and we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, friends. Amen.